continue our sermon series on 1 Peter. So we've been kind of going through verses by verses, kind of building upon one another. And so today we are in 1 Peter chapter 3, the first seven verses. And today we get to talk about relationships, honoring relationships. And we'll kind of focus on some kind of husband and wife relationships, but also those same principles apply to kind of all of our relationships. And this is really building upon what we talked about last week. So I want to cover one quick verse from last week to kind of set the stage, because this kind of flows from what we talked about last week. So last week we were still in chapter 2. So 1 Peter 2:17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. So we're in this kind of section talking about honor and honoring everyone. And so last week we looked at honoring everyone, loving the brotherhood, fearing God, honoring the emperor, honoring the president. We talked about that. And then there's a section on kind of servants and masters and that relationship happens. And then based on that, that continuing the theme on honoring each other and honoring everyone, we then talk about kind of this marriage relationships. That's where we will dive in today. So we'll kind of go back and we'll then start with the first part of 1 Peter chapter 3. And what we'll do, we'll kind of go through, and I want to, there's a lot here, a lot I don't want us to kind of misrepresent or get wrong. So we'll kind of take some time to explain certain words, certain phrases. What does this mean in the context of what 1 Peter's doing in the context of the Bible? So likewise, wives, and the likewise there is kind of connecting it to everything before that. So that was what I just mentioned. So likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. And so he first is talking to the wives, and whenever you see verses like this, always be remembered that there's always some verses for the husbands later on. So these verses are never kind of out of context, you know, if you're just focusing on the one. So in all of these, you have this kind of honoring relationships. And so they talk about wives, and they talk about husbands, and it's really about how do you honor and love one another. And they may use some different words to do that, but it's really about this two-way street. So never lose sight of that. Never kind of take these verses out of context and just take, oh, wives, you're only supposed to do this, and don't do the husbands or vice versa, that this goes together. And notice here that it's talking about wives whose husbands aren't believers or don't believe in Jesus, or that says here, do not obey the word. And this goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago, where it's how do you deal with people who don't believe yet? And how you treat them matters. So this is saying, even in a relationship like that, the way that you act, the way that you carry yourself, that's going to show who God is to that other person. And so that's a key for us in our relationships. That even when we're dealing with unbelievers, even if that's a spouse, if that's a family member, that's a close friend, the way we act around them matters. And we want that conduct, that respectful and pure conduct that leads people to Jesus. And so that's true in the marriage relationship, but that's also true just in relationships in general, that how we interact with people who don't yet believe, we want that to lead them to believe. We want that to be the path for them. We'll continue on. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit in which God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So I want to talk about this adorning piece. And so here, it's really talking about where are your priorities? Are you putting your priorities in what's external, what's happening on the outside, the hair and the jewelry, or the presentation and the clothing? And again, this goes for both men and women. It's in the kind of the wives section, but I think this goes for each and every one of us. Where are your priorities? Is it and how we look externally? Or is it what's happening in here? And this is reminding us that true beauty happens within. True beauty is what's happening within us. It's that hidden person of the heart, the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. That's where true beauty comes. And so that's for each one of us. And we live in a culture that is always going to be pushing us, always going to give us signals that say your worth is based on how good looking you are, how much money that you can show that you have, you know, this watch, this piece of clothing, this car, this house, all in these external things. So we're always going to be getting messages that say this is how the world sees your worth. And we always have to be combating that and saying, but my priority is what's happening in here. My priority is what's happening in my spirit. And that's where the true beauty lies, is what's happening on the inside. And that's what God sees. God, in God's sight, that's very precious, what's happening in here. And from my experience, and maybe you know people like this, that their spirit is just so open, and they're so in love with God, and they're just such a whole and complete person, that they're just so beautiful. Just because of who they are and how they carry themselves, you know that they're right with God, you know they understand who God is, and they just have that spirit within them that just makes them so beautiful. And I think that's what we want for ourselves, is that beauty starts down here and then extends outward. And this verse isn't saying, no, don't braid your hair, don't look nice, don't, you know, have some nice clothes. It's saying, where's your priority? And make that priority in here. Have it start with your soul. Have it start with your relationship with God. And then allow that to extend out. And that's true beauty, and beauty that God loves to see, that God sees is beautiful. So that's important to remember. And now we go and we talk about the husbands. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So I want to start probably with the biggest phrase in there, where probably where your mind goes straight to, is the weaker vessel. What do we mean by that? And so this is a tough one because it's a phrase that Peter throws in there. We don't have a lot of context for that. It's not something we see a lot in the Bible. And so we have to try and piece it together. What does this mean, weaker vessel? And whenever we're in a situation like this with the Bible, we start with, all right, what is the immediate context? What's the words around it? What's the sentence? What's the paragraph around it? What is that pointing to what it means? And then we take a step back and say, what does this mean in the context of the whole book? That 1 Peter is a letter written by Peter. So what does this mean in the context of the whole book? And what does this mean in the context of the whole Bible? So we want Scripture to always make sense with the whole of Scripture, so we understand that. So let's take a few, you know, possibilities of what this could mean. So weaker vessel could mean, or some people may say this, and I don't agree with this, that women are less than men. And you may have heard someone use this verse to say that. But if you look at even just the rest of the verse, it doesn't even make sense. So show honor to women because they aren't as good, since they're heirs with you in the grace of life. It doesn't even make sense in the context here. But if we also remember the context of the rest of 1 Peter, talking about honoring everyone and loving everyone, doesn't make sense there. And if you remember the rest of Scripture, thinking about in the beginning, Genesis 1:27, that God created male and female, man and woman. He created them in his own image, that both men and women have his own image. If you think about the Gospel of John and John chapter 4, you have Jesus with a Samaritan woman, and he's the first person in that gospel that he reveals, this is who I am. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. And what does she do? She takes and she converts her entire city. Later on in the Gospel of John, when Jesus resurrected, who's the first person he runs into? Mary Magdalene. And then she's the one that tells the disciples. And then throughout the book of Acts, you have Priscilla and Aquila, Priscilla being kind of the main one of that couple who's kind of leading and doing ministry. And later on in the Romans, you have Apostle Junia, and you have all the verses about kind of neither male nor female. And the biggest one for me is, where does my power and authority come from? My power and authority comes from the Holy Spirit that's in me. That goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago when we talk about us being the spiritual houses. And the old covenant is God is in the temple. In the new covenant, we are the temple and God's in us with the Holy Spirit. There isn't a man Holy Spirit and a woman Holy Spirit. There isn't a greater Holy Spirit and a lesser Holy Spirit. All the same Holy Spirit. So the same power and authority goes there. So all that wrapped up to say, I don't think that means men are greater than women. So what does that mean? Does it mean that women aren't as physically strong? I saw some people, that was their interpretation of this. While in general that may be true, I don't really see how that's making as much sense here either, unless it's talking about men needing to protect a little bit, but I think men and women can both be a protector. So my best understanding of what this means, and again, I'm trying to understand what Peter's thinking thousands of years later, but the key word for me is live with your wives in an understanding way. So that understanding is the important word for me. That women back then had very little rights, very little privileges, very little opportunity. And some of those things are still around today. And my best understanding of this is you want to understand and you want to honor your wife because she's going to be going through different things than you have understanding for. That she may have different things that she's afraid of. She may have different things that she has to go through. She may be treated differently in the culture. And because of that, as a husband, you should be spending time understanding and honoring her because of that. That understanding how women view the world is really important to understand them and honor them and love them. And so when we see weaker vessel here, I see weaker vessel as they don't have the same opportunities, especially in this culture. They say don't have the same privileges. And so spend some time honoring them and understanding that, because that's going to kind of unlock understanding and how you can honor them. And so I think that same message applies today. That women, even today, they have to go through life a little bit differently than men. They have to worry about things that men don't have to worry about. They are treated in a different way than men in many cases. And so as husbands and as men, the more that we can understand that and spend some time honoring them in that's what they have to go through, the better off we're going to be. And so that's in marriage relationships, and that's in your relationships with other women, so men and women. The more you can understand that, the better. And I think this goes vice versa, too, that women having to understand what men have to go through, maybe very different things, not equivalent, but that helps. And so I see this as husbands, be understanding and show honor. And then they're heirs with you. So that it's we do this together. So we show honor because we're heirs together. Men and women, we're heirs together. So we're in this together. And so I think that's true for men and women. I also think this is kind of a key to all relationships. Is having this in mind. That the way that you see the world and the way the world treats you will not be the same for everybody else. And so many problems in relationships, men and women, and racially, is because we assume that the world is going to treat everyone the same. Or assume that how we view the world, that people treat us, everyone's treating them the same way. And so the more that we can step in and say, I want to understand how you see the world. I want to understand the struggles that you have. I want to understand the things that you have to deal with that I don't. The more we understand that, the more we can honor one another and have these honoring relationships. There was a movie that came out a few decades ago that was with Mel Gibson, What Women Want. And so in this movie, he kind of has this supernatural ability through some sort of accident that he can hear what women are thinking. And he uses that to, manipulate them and things like that. I think he ends up kind of learning his lesson in the end of kind of how to understand women. But I want you know, you don't have to have that supernatural ability to read women's minds. There's a really easy thing that you can do, all right? So this is really important. If you want to understand what women are thinking and what women want, here's what you do. You ask them what they want, and you listen. And sometimes that first step isn't even necessary. You just listen. So you do that. And I think that's true for husbands and wives, and vice, you know, vice versa. Husbands, ask your, wives, ask your husbands, what do you want? What do you want out of life? And listen. Do that with your family members. Do that with your friends. Do that with coworkers. Understand, what do you want out of this world? Where are you going? What do you want? What do you want to see happen? What are your goals? Then you listen. And the more that you can have an understanding of that, the more you can honor one another. And the last part of this, so that your prayers may not be hindered, this, the better that we our relationships are, the more that we are then honoring God and we're connecting with God. Because remember, God's the one that designed this whole thing. Created us to be relational beings, that we're together. We need other people. So God created us that way, and so the more that we can honor and love and cherish the relationships in our lives, the more that we're honoring God and kind of living out how he designed us to be. And really, that's the picture of the church, is a group of people who want to understand one another, want to honor one another. And as we do that, we advance God's kingdom. And so when we talk about these relationships between husbands and wives, there's a phrase that gets thrown out there. You probably heard, you know, happy wife, happy life. And a lot of times that gets used when the husband or the man wants to do something and the wife doesn't, and then the rest of the people are like, hey, happy wife, happy life. But in my life, that's true. One of my top goals in my life, the number one, or one of the top priorities in my life, is for my wife, Amberlee, to have the best life possible. That's one of the top things that I want. So when I'm thinking about our future, when I'm working hard at my job, when I'm doing these things, I say, I'm doing this because I want Amberlee to have an awesome life. And she does. That's just, okay, confirming that, thank you. And I'm not perfect at that. But that's what I want. That's what I want for her. But in the end, it's all kind of selfish for me too. Because when she's happy, when her and I are getting along, man, life is good. When you have someone you can go through life with, when you have someone that you can be best friends with and you can share things with and listen and honor and love one another, there's nothing more valuable in life than the relationships. And so that's for husbands and wives. That's for, if you're not married, that's for the other relationships in your life. I don't think you'll ever regret putting time into the relationships that matters to you. That's where real wealth comes from. We can look at all these wealthy people that have billions of dollars, but where are they at in their relationships? And if you have quality relationships, you have relationships where you're honoring one another and you're kind of in this together, you're probably one of the wealthiest people in the world. Because that's what leads to real happiness. So it's happy wife, happy life. There's also the kind of the gender neutral one, happy spouse, happy house. So that's true too. So it goes both ways. But I wanted to expand that because this isn't just for married people. So I want to expand that. So I was trying to think of a nice pithy way to say that. So I kind of failed, but I have three different ways that I want to try out. So let's see how these go. Okay. So these are kind of expanding to like relationships with everybody, that the better relationships you have across the board, the better your life is going to be. So, happy folks, better hopes. That one's the worst one, going from worse to better, okay? Happy communities, positive opportunities. That was a little better. And then this one's still bad, but this is the best one I came up with. Happy clan, happy lifespan. So, if you can think of a better one, please let me know. I spent a lot of time trying to come up with these. These are bad, but you get the idea that when you put time into relationships, when you prioritize that, when you have these relationships where you're honoring one another, that leads to the greatest happiness. Not only because you're doing what God's called you to do and you're probably advancing God's kingdom in that and you're calling people into the kingdom, but it leads to your greatest happiness. Because we're created to be with other people, and we have these relationships, you feel so valued and worthy. And it's your relationship with the Lord, but it's also a relationship with others. And as you do that, that's the life that God has for you. And that's the life where we can cherish one another and move forward. And it's to all of our benefit, for us to do that. That's what God's called us to, and that's what we want to have for ourselves. So please rise. Let me pray for us on that. Lord, I thank you so much that you've called us into community. You've called us into these relationships, and whether that's husband and wife or friends and family and neighbors and church community, all these relationships, Lord, I ask that you would just bless our relationships. Allow us to overcome some of the barriers. Allow us to have eyes to see and understand how other people go through the world. Give us tremendous understanding of one another so that we can connect, to remove some of those barriers. And Lord, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, that we want to be really good at relationships. We want to be really good at loving and honoring and understanding one another. And Lord, you are the master at that. You are the person who's perfect at that. And so we want to be more like you to be able to do that. So Lord, allow us to do that. And Lord, we want to see your kingdom come here on earth. And so allow the way that we act, the way that we love, the way that we build our relationships, allow that to be evident to those who don't know you yet. And allow our conduct and how we live to pull people in, to be advancing your kingdom to people who don't understand the worth that they have in you and people who don't understand what life can be like with a relationship with you. Lord, we want to bring them in. So allow us to be evangelists in that, with how we treat and honor one another. And Lord, allow us, even when we make mistakes, allow us to forgive one another, to overcome those human things that just kind of happen when we're going to make mistakes, we're going to fail one another. But allow us to overcome those. Allow us to be your light through our relationships. So we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of ministry, and so if you want some prayer, there'll be people in the blue room for that. If you want to have time of fellowship, we ask you to head outside and do that outside. But then go in great peace and in great relationships. Amen.